You know, the last week we started to talk about bullying. You know, and I'm sure some people wonder, well, why are you talking about bullying in church? Well, here's the reality of it. Doesn't it affect all of us? How many people have been affected by bullying, either of an observer or being bullied? You know, almost everybody at some point in your life has been impacted by this or been at least an observer of it. And so I believe that as a church, we need to be relevant in our messages, especially when Scripture talks so much about it. And so that's why we've been doing this series. And so I want to take a few minutes to bring everyone up to speed. A couple of you weren't here last week, so just take a quick minute and do some review. First of all, we need to define what bullying is. Bullying is not correction, all right? Bullying is not saying, hey, you're doing something wrong, there's a better way. That's just somebody trying to help you. Don't say you're being bullied, all right? Bullying is the indirect or direct belittling of someone else. What that means is when someone is saying something to you, it's to pull you down, to tear you down. There's no good in it, all right? The idea is they're trying to just hurt you in some way. That's what bullying is in its definition. Now, how can that happen? It can be verbal, can be emotional, can be physical, or cyber, and meaning computers, you know, through Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things, which is, by the way, the most cowardly form of bullying there is. Because you don't even have to face the person you're bullying. You're doing it behind a little computer screen. That's just horrible, that you know what people do to one another online. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But there is another form of bullying that was brought to my attention. Pastor Vic and I were just, you know, during the week, we're just discussing it. And it's absolutely true. And it's actually happened to me. So I'm going to give you the term that I use. I call this form of bullying space invasion. All right? Now, you know, these are space invaders. So, Pastor Tom, come on up here. Pastor Tom is just a guy who loves Jesus, all right? And I'm the bully, all right? I'll be the bully today. And so, no, you're not a bully. You stop that. You're not the bully. You just love Jesus, all right? All right, so he's just loving on Jesus, and I'm the bully. Are you bullying me? No. He's turning this thing around on me. All right, so here's how this works. A space invader bully is a person that enters your zone. Now, here's what I mean by that. Every one of you have a certain zone, all right? Usually it's a couple feet. This is kind of a normal kind of zone, all right? You know what I'm saying? But what if I... He doesn't like that. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, you know, a space invader bully. Now, often it's not just by silence. There's usually words involved. In other words, you have people that combine this kind of bullying where literally they're yelling at you and, you know, they're spitting all over you, you know, and they just get right in front of your face. Thank you, Tom. It's okay. You did a good job. That's it. And the point is that kind of pushing past that line of comfort, all right? Now, listen to me. I've had that happen even in church. You know, I've been just, you know, in the back over the years. Again, I've been here 22 years, so it's only happened 3 or 4 times. But somebody literally, you know, they're like, like right here, you know what I'm saying? It's not like they were whispering something in my ear. They were like, right there. And I have to say, excuse me, you know, can I just take a step back here? You know, don't be afraid to do that. If someone's doing that to you, they may be doing it unintentionally. All right? This may not be a form of bullying, but just not understanding, you know, comfort zones. But if it is bullying, often they won't respond well when you say, hey, you know, just, I'm going to take a step back. Can you stay where you are? And if they keep pushing forward, that is a form of bullying. And we're going to talk about how to deal with this in a few minutes. But space invaders are around, okay? Yeah, I call them space invaders. And, you know, so it's a form of bullying. And listen, it's not right because it's affecting you, all right? And it's just not appropriate. Okay, last week we talked from 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. And just in a form of just quick review, we're just going to read that one verse. And this was concerning David. And it says this, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The reason why we talk about this scripture is that this is long before David meets Goliath. The idea is that long before you and I meet the bullies in life, we have to be prepared. And so then right away, you're going to be thinking, well, hold it. David was one in a million. You know, a prophet comes, anoints him with oil. He's special. Well, of course he's going to be able to beat Goliath. Who am I in comparison to that? Well, here's the cool part for you and I. We don't live under the old covenant, under the Old Testament. You know, back then when the Holy Spirit would come, He would come and abide on certain individuals. Only certain special people would have the Holy Spirit abide upon them. But we are New Testament believers. So if you have your Bibles, and I just want you to see this for yourselves, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, this is review, and then we're going to move into this week. But I just want everyone on the same page. I want you to know that you are anointed. That you don't have to be, quote, someone special like David, but as a believer in Christ, you are anointed. So 2 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's speaking to the believers at Corinth. Is anybody a believer here in Jesus? All right. Well, you fit into this. You're the us in here, all right? And so it says we've been anointed. And that word anointed, though it's a Greek word for anointed, is the exact corresponding word to when David was anointed. It's the same word, just Hebrew and Greek, meaning the same thing, all right? And then it goes on, which is so awesome. And again, I love this scripture. Verse 22, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit as a in our hearts as a guarantee. So when we receive this anointing, what it means is we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when did that happen? Do you need to come forward for a special prayer? You know, we call it the Holy Spirit anointing service. You know, where no, it doesn't happen that way. The moment you accepted Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, some of you did that this very morning, the Holy Spirit has now come and dwells in your heart. He lives in you. And that's when it comes. It's the seal of the promise that's to come. It's a seal to say you have eternal life. It's a seal that says when you're in difficult times, there's someone you can call upon who lives in you. You know, the schools may be able to block Jesus' prayers out. You know, your work may say you can't do certain things. Can I tell you, Jesus goes where you go because He lives inside of you. All right, never ever forget that. You know, they people can say what they want, words, but Jesus is with you wherever you go. So important as believers to know. So, step one in dealing with bullies, and I left you with this last week. You must know who you are, that you were anointed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when that bully's there, you are not standing alone. Someone is with you, and He's big. You know what I'm saying? He's like the big brother, all right? The one who's with you is greater than the one who's in the world. So believe me, you have the big side of this situation. And in fact, let me tell you how I deal with bullies in life. I've changed my way of dealing with bullies. When I see that big bully coming at me, and they start speaking those words, and those words are coming at me, I just kind of, on the inside, I kind of fold my arms and say, what a little tiny person. That's what I think. You know why I can do that? Because I know who I am in Christ. And I realize they're so tiny because they're trying to make me tinier so they can feel bigger. See, that's what they're trying to do. See, isn't that sad? So all of a sudden, instead of being threatened by that person, I'm actually feeling sad for them. You see, when you can begin to do that, you are now confident in who you are in Christ. And it's so important for us as believers to get to that place where we know who we are, that when we're attacked by bullies, it's like, who does this person think they are? I'm a child of the King. You know, they're saying this and this and this. What is wrong with them? You get what I mean? You're turning this thing around. It's not about something wrong with you. Say, what is wrong with them? What is wrong? Like, you understand what I'm saying? You turn this thing around. Why? Because you're on top and not underneath. You're the head and not the tail, all right? Come on, you need to begin to believe the stuff we actually read. You know, this is true. You need to come to a place of recognizing the truth and walking in it. You know, it's not like we have church and we learn about God stuff and then we have life and we do life over here and it's two separate components. The idea of church and walking with Jesus is so Monday morning you can hit the road running with Him. So that when you run to work or you run to school or you're running home, you know, that Jesus is with you in the midst of all the circumstances. That's really where it's important. You know, isn't it nice to come here and sense His presence? How many people agree with that? Absolutely. But it's so you can be filled up so you can go empty out to the world around you. That's what God's called us to. Not to be bullied. God hasn't called us to be bullied and picked on. God's called us to be an overcomer. In fact, we're to be a bully to the devil. That's how we need to be. We need to be putting the devil in his place. Who do you think you are? You know what I'm saying? Let's turn the tables on this thing. And instead of being a victim, being a victor. See, we got one victor right here. Pastor Vic, he's got his hand up. He's happy. He'll go with that. Amen. Amen. Having said that, what we had last week, you know, we were talking about bullying, and Hannah Bernier wanted to share a testimony. Now, Hannah Bernier, she's awesome. She loves Jesus, all right? And she loves to talk. How many people know that? She just, man, she is, she, if you asked her about Jesus, she would go on and on and on and on, and which is great. But to save us a little bit of time, I said, Hannah, come on in. So we videotaped her, and we took the 20 minutes interview, and we condensed it down for a couple of minutes so you can get the main point. So God bless her, and let's run that.
My name is Hannah Rainier, and I would like to share my story about bullying. The bullying started in eighth grade, and I had recently accepted the Lord, and people just didn't really like that, I guess. So I was the target of gossip, and I was it was all emotional, like nothing was physical. You know, as I walked in the hallway, I heard, you know, gossiping and whispering. And I was like, are they talking about me? I was really confused because I didn't know what was happening. And then eventually one of the acquaintances, who is now one of my good friends, I didn't really know them at the time, but they were the only one that was talking to me because I literally lost everyone. I was eating by myself in the cafeteria, and I was so confused because I didn't know what was going on. And it wasn't until about a week that I found out that there were rumors, that I found out what was happening. It felt like I was being so rejected, like I had went and opened a door only to have it be slammed in my face, and it was humiliating, like I was, like a child would feel on their, you know, on their first day of school or something if their pants fell down, like in their class. That's essentially what it felt like, and there was just so much confusion. So my first step when I kind of realized I was being bullied, obviously I told my parents. And it was hard for me to do to just come open about it because it's not easy to just kind of admit that you're being bullied because it's really embarrassing. And I told them, and they had went online and they looked up all these different stuff about like bullying and what it is, because like I said, no one was believing me at the school. And they were like, well, you don't have anything physical wrong with you, so we don't have proof, like we can't get the cops involved. Sorry, I think it's all in your head. I remember thinking, what is a Christian supposed to do in this situation? Like, I didn't take a Bible 101 class. They didn't tell me, like, what to do. So I was so feeling so sorry for myself and having a pity party. And just, I wasn't praying because I didn't know if it would essentially help. And I just completely lost it. I went into, like, a severe depression and became, like really suicidal because I just didn't know how else to deal with it. I just remember there was this one day, and I came home from school, and I remember staring at my ceiling just, like, for, like, an hour, just, like, doing nothing. So I remember praying, was like, God, if you're real, if you love me, if you're who you say you are, then don't let me do this and save me. And he did. So after that, I started to get help and everything, and then that's kind of just when I realized that my identity is found in him, and I was able to forgive them, because I think I know that if I hadn't forgiven them and if I still was angry towards them, I never would have gotten better from it because I would have had so much bitterness. If you're being bullied, I think the most important thing to do is pray, because there are so many times when I got so angry and I just wanted to, you know, start rumors about them and make them feel bad. But I knew that in my heart that that's not what Jesus would want me to do. And I didn't let them walk all over me, but at the same time, I didn't let them get to me in the way that I used to. Looking back, even though at the time I didn't realize that, you know, I didn't realize that Jesus was there because I kind of walked away from him and I assumed that he walked away from me. And I believed the lies, and I was so engaged in the lies that Satan was telling me, you know, that I was worthless and I deserved to die and all that stuff. I wasn't focused on the fact that Christ was there. And now I know and I can say Christ does not leave you. If Christ wasn't there, he would not have saved my life that day and I wouldn't be here right now. Even though I had walked away from him and honestly was mad at him for letting that happen to me, I know for a fact that it was for a reason, and he has shown me so many things now. And I'm grateful for that experience because I'm so much stronger in him. And I can honestly say, like, not just spiritually, but he's physically saved my life too. And that is something I cannot be more grateful for.
Amen. You know, Hannah had some very important points to say. First of all, that she had to stop believing the lies. That's a huge one. You just got to stop believing what's being said. You know, it's garbage. It's blah, 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 blah. You just have to come to a point of realizing, I'm not taking this in anymore. And I need to take in the Word, the capital W. You know, not the words, but the Word, and allow it to transform you. You know, she said a couple other things. She talked about the importance of knowing who she was in Christ. You'll hear the story that for that season when she was being bullied, that she was kind of separated from the Lord. It's not that God left her, by her own admission, but she had kind of turned and was just doing her own thing. Let me tell you a little bit how sheep are attacked by a wolf. You know, Satan is a wolf, and we're called sheep in the Bible, all right? So when a wolf sees a group of sheep huddling together, he sees one big white blob. And you know what he says? I can't do anything. They're bigger than me. Because that's how they see with their eyes. They just see one, they think it's like one giant sheep. But when that sheep gets out by themselves, when they begin to just go their own way, that then becomes a target for the enemy. And that's what bullies do. Bullies target out individuals usually, all right? That's how it works. And so what she was saying is when she turned back to God, He was there for her. Now, I wish that when we turn back to God and we say, Lord, help me with this, that it would be kind of like the military. They would just issue a precise drone strike on every bully in your life, right? You turn back to Jesus and the Lord just, you know, contacts NATO and they send out their drones, you know, and poof, you know, have you ever seen the little explosions that happen from, it is so cool actually, but that's not what God does, all right? That's not how it works. You see, for Hannah, she didn't get into this too much in her testimony, even in the extended version. The bullies were still there. They were still there at school, you know, dealing with all these things. Your bullies are not just going to miraculously disappear as you begin to deal with this. It's just not going to happen. So what is going to happen? Something begins to happen in here. See, positionally, you are changing to such a point, and Hannah said this, that she could forgive the individual. You know, now I want you to think about this. That means that she realized, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with them. You see, when you come to that place in your life realizing they're the little person, they're the ones with the problem, not you, that's a game changer. And when you begin to see life that way, all of a sudden the bullies in your life really aren't a problem anymore to you. Yes, you got to deal with them, but positionally, you know who you are as an anointed child of God. Amen? All right, now we need to move on to the next step of dealing with a bully. It's good to know positionally who you are, but there's still another part that we have to deal with. So we need to go to the story of David and Goliath. We're only going to just introduce Goliath today and see what he has to say. He is like one mean dude. So we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Now you might think that this isn't very significant. Why did I read this? Next week we're going to understand this. But picture in your mind the one army, they're kind of up on one mountainside. The other army is on the other mountainside, and there's a valley. And actually we come to find out there's a little stream that runs between the two, all right? We're going to touch on that a little bit later next week. So that's important. So, verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. Goliath from Gath, that sounds like a, you know, whoa. Whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 feet, 9 inches. This ceiling is 14 feet high. I'm about 5'8". So, this might be about 7 feet where my hand is, give or take. Add almost 3 feet to my hand. Add a yardstick to my hand. That's how big this dude was. He was big. And I don't mean big as in like a skinny basketball player. This guy was big in every way, shape, and form, all right? He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 125 pounds. It's like carrying a boy around all the time. You get what I'm saying? And I could just picture the guy when he takes his coat of mail off. He just goes like this, just sets it off, you know, because it didn't weigh anything to him. This guy is so massive. Now listen to this. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That's 2 to 3 inches thick, okay? And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Okay, let me help you understand what this is. So a weaver's beam, 2 or 3 inches thick. Imagine trying to hold it. This is a spear, something you got to throw, right? And the thing, it would actually be at least 6 feet long, at least maybe 7 feet long. And it weighed 15 pounds on the end of it, the spearhead. All right, how many people know and go to the store and buy jugs of milk? 1 gallon jugs of milk. I got grandkids, so I buy them like every day. All right, so picture one of those plus a half jug. Tie them together, put them on the end of that piece of wood, and try to carry that around. That's what he carried around all the time as a weapon to stuff into people. Isn't that unbelievable? Picture that. That just shows how massive this guy is. He is one scary dude. Just to see him, even before he starts to talk, I think I'd be running away from him. Anybody join me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm out of here. You know, this guy is one scary dude. Now he actually talks, though. He's a scary talking dude. So in verse 8, it says, "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.'" So here's what he's basically saying. He's saying, look, I'm the representative of the Philistine army. Okay, just me. If you guys, Israel, send down one guy, we'll fight and we'll decide everything. So, you know, a whole bunch of other people don't have to get hurt. It all sounds good if you were the Philistine, right? What if you were in the army of Israel? There's nobody like him. Not one person even near the size of this guy. Can I tell you, the bullies in our lives can be so scary. We just want to run away shrieking. We really do, because it's just so intimidating. So let's see what Israel, did they just like rise up and beat him? No. Verse 11. "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now, he hasn't done anything yet. These are just words. You've heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And I know that was taught to us as a nursery rhyme to help deal with bullying. But you know what I've learned? That words actually can stab deeper than a stick or a stone. That actually you can have more emotional damage done, far more than the physical damage of a stick or stone. In fact, it would have been better if a stick or a stone had been thrown at you. Would anyone agree? Because of the power of words. Well, if negative words from a bully are that powerful, how much more powerful are the words from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You see, what words are you believing? You see, the problem with Saul, and we're not reading about this today, Saul had walked away from the Lord. And so he actually wasn't walking with him at this point in his life. And so here's what happens. The enemy rises up. And Saul had had tremendous victory. In fact, there were times where he was outnumbered, outgunned, so to speak, over and over again, yet he got tremendous victory. But at this point in his life, he wasn't walking with the Lord. And as a result of it, fear had crept in. So when those words were spoken, he ran from it. I believe that fear in our lives is a barometer of how close we are or far away we are from our Lord. Just a side thought. And I encourage you, if fear is predominant, if fear is kind of poking its head up in your life, don't run from it, but rather run to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Because running to him will help dissolve and deal with the fear in your life. And so we go on in verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days morning and evening." So this wasn't just a one-time deal. Night and morning for 40 days he comes up and says, "Am I not a Philistine and you the armies of Israel?" You know, this whole deal back and forth. "I defy you." You know, this whole thing. 40 days and 40 nights. And what did the children of Israel do? Jump down to verse 24. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," Goliath, "fled from him and were dreadfully afraid." This isn't going very well for Israel at this point, is it? For 40 days, they're basically gridlocked with this imposing bully, bullying a whole nation. You know, there's two types of fear that you and I deal with. We deal with real fear, and then what I call perceived fear. Real fear is when you see somebody like Goliath with a big spear, and that's real fear. You know that he could hurt you, all right? That's real. But for most of us, that's not the circumstances you and I generally are running into. Most of the time, we're dealing with what I refer to as perceived fear. In other words, person says something. They're talking. And then fear rises up in you as a result of the words that are being said. Now, perceived fear could become real fear when they attack you, right? But at this point, it's just words that are being spoken. Now, God has built into us the ability to deal with confrontations like this. And in fact, even in nature, God has built it even into animals. Let me give you an animal example, and I'll bring it back to you and I. When I used to hunt, one of the techniques that you would use in hunting, especially large game, is actually a term, it's called fight or flight mentality. In other words, it's in animals, it's built into them. In other words, they will either stay and confront what's coming against them, or they will run. But there's something that's built into both animals and to humans that God has put into us, that there's a split second where we're deciding, are we going to run or are we going to stay? So when you're hunting, you've got a deer walking, okay, walking maybe quite quickly. You can't get a good shot. And so what you do is you yell. You just yell a short, sharp, just, hey, just like that. And here's what they do. They freeze. Now, it's only for half a second to a second, because what they're doing is they're ascertaining where did it come from. And then after that second, give or take, boom, they're gone. They just take off. But that 1 second is what the hunter needs to make the clean shot. And so that's what you do. Now, by the way, no animals were harmed in this illustration. I did not get the deer when I did that, all right? I missed, all right? Just so you know, no animals harmed in this, all right? The same is for you and I. When we're confronted with a bully, there's an instant moment in time where we actually freeze. It's like the Matrix, real, okay? It really is. Like, just stops for a split second. Now, you haven't stopped on the inside, but literally, you're frozen for that split second of time, and there's a whole bunch of things going on in your head. You're processing, do I fight or do I flight? Do I run or do I stand my ground? And that's something that's built into us. Now, here's the thing. We have to get beyond the instinct that's been given to us. We have to get beyond that because that's fear-driven. You and I need to come to a place where we are faith-driven in that instinct. In other words, when that moment freezes and we're looking at that and processing, you know, what are we going to do? It's not any longer do I run or do I stay, but Jesus, do I run or do I stay? In other words, it's not, you're not just dealing with it internally yourself, but you are consulting with the Lord on the inside, how do I deal with this? And this is a game changer for most of us, because most of us in that split second, we're going to go back to our natural instinct, whatever we normally have done in the past. But you see, you are anointed. You are appointed. You are a child of the King. You have someone you can depend on. See, you're not standing there by yourself anymore. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, plus a bunch of angels. Bible says, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? Well, that means that you as a child of God, you've got angelic hosts that are... You got a bunch of bodyguards. You've got an entourage. You know, you thought that was just the world had entourage. You've got your own spiritual entourage that's following you wherever you're going. But sometimes we just don't acknowledge it. We just don't see it because it's just the bully and you. And you look around and you don't see anybody else. But there is someone else there. The Lord is there with you. Amen? And so, step two in dealing with bullies. You must conquer your fear. Or a better word might be, you must manage your fear. Fear is actually a part of the process, all right? And so that's okay. You must manage it. By exercising what? Self-control through the Holy Spirit of God. Fear is one of Satan's most powerful weapons against us. Let me show you this in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now let's break this down a little bit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, that's how Satan operates. He operates out of a spirit of fear, intimidation. That's how he works. But God, in fact, you could actually say this in the original language, it would say this. But instead of a spirit of fear, he's given us a spirit, the Holy Spirit, of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. And I don't believe the scriptures have shopping lists. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't matter what order they're in. I believe that it does matter what orders they're in. And so here we see the first order is power. He's given us the Holy Spirit that is power. And this word in the original Greek is dunamis. It means the dynamite power of God, the ability to do something. In other words, it's not just, you're just like this, but you have the strength to do something. And then coupled with that is love. Now this is a little bit kind of an oxymoron, right? Love, and this is the agape kind of love. So let's put this into practice. Bully is bullying me. And I look at them, and here's how I'm internalizing it. What a little man. Why is he doing this? You see him say, right away, I'm putting myself in the position where I need to be in Christ, eh? And he's the little guy. Even though he's bigger, he's a Goliath, right? But in the realm of the spirit, he's little. That's how I see it. And then the next step is, Lord, you love this person too. Even though they're really nasty to me. And even though I'd like to call a lightning bolt down to just like drone strike. You know, but Lord, you love that person the same as me. You know, I wonder what messed them up like that. See, right away, you know, I'm going beyond myself. When you can get beyond yourself and the pity party and begin to say, Lord, how do you want to help this person? See, that's a game changer because you've turned the tables on the enemy. See, here's the enemy trying to get you, and now you're turned around to help one that's being oppressed by the enemy. You see, that bully is really just a tool that the enemy's using to try to get you. And you have to make a decision. Are you going to let them get you, or are you going to get him? And when I say get him, I don't mean the person, but are you going to be a bully back to the devil and put him back in his proper place? And that's a decision you have to make. But here's how this goes, right? You've got power. You've got compassionate love, unconditional love. And then you have what? A sound mind. That's cognitive thinking. That's not terrified. Ah, what am I going to do? That's not self-control, all right? That's not a controlled mind. The idea is that you have the mind of what? Christ. To be able to make the right decision, to go in the right direction that God has called you to. Okay, with that in mind, I'm going to leave you today. It's only going to take us about 2 minutes. With four practical steps to deal with a bully. This is rubber hits the road. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this right now. I received a lot of phone calls this week and a lot of personal conversation with people. This is a hot button issue. Now, what's amazing is there's two camps. There's really not a whole lot of people in the middle. There's two camps. Now, here's what some people say. They say, here's my solution for the devil. Here's one of them, and here's the other one. In other words, here's answer one, here's answer two. In other words, you know, they're going to come at me, I'm going to pound them. And you know that. And to be honest with you, you know, I could tell you lots of stories, but I'm not going to because that's going to take away from the direction I'm wanting to go. I don't believe that should be our first answer. I really don't, all right? Especially according to the Scripture, and especially according to what the Word of God would want us to do. And as you look at the life of Christ, how he dealt with people, he never punched anyone. He did make a cord of whips and beat up some people in a temple area, but they were doing some wrong stuff. So he was disciplining them. He wasn't bullying them. But then the other group, I call them, you know, the pacifists. In other words, oh, you just don't do nothing. Don't. Can I tell you that neither is the right answer? All right, so let me give you four biblical steps. All right, here's step one. Remember who you are and spiritually stand your ground. Now, you notice how I said that. Spirit, it's not, yeah, okay, I'm standing, I'm ready. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, the bully comes and it's like, ah, Lord, I thank you that I'm your child. I thank you that I'm on top and not on the bottom. I thank you that you were in control of this circumstance. So when I say spiritually stand your ground, that means know who you are. Be prepared on the inside. It's a heart thing. It's a preparedness on the inside. So not like this, but rather, I'm ready. Okay, that's step one. Step two, consider your options at the moment. Fight or flight. Is there a way to just walk away? You notice what I say? Then do so. Then do so. If there is an exit, you need to just walk away. Now, having said that, that's not enough. If I just gave you these two steps, this will not deal with the bully. I have done extensive research. And when I tell you, I'm not just telling you kind of what I think. I did research into the secular world, how all their studies, I can show you all the stuff that I've gone through. All of them conclusively say this. You should walk away. But here's what they all say. But it won't work. And you might say, well, then what's the point? I might as well beat the kid up then, or the person up. No, it's just not enough. You have to take it to the next step. In other words, what they're saying is if you just walk away and you continually just keep walking away, the bully will just keep pressing and pressing and pressing. So there is another step. So let me give that to you. Number three, if you can walk away, immediately report the incident, again, depending on your circumstance, to teachers, human resources, or the police. Bullying is illegal and it's usually taken very seriously. Now, they might blow you off. You go to the police, say, hey, this person said this, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Listen, they do what's called, and you make them do this, it's called a blotter report. It means that they have to record that you came in and said this event happened. Now, they may not have the police actually investigate it, but it gets recorded. All right, so then a week later, the same thing happens. You go, you get it recorded. And normally these kinds of things escalate. So eventually somebody's going to catch a video of it, one of your friends hopefully, Everyone here have a friend with a video camera? Okay. The idea is, you know, you as a spectator, you get involved. Sooner or later, the person will cross the line where they can be dealt with. And that's what we have to do. Now, to be honest with you, I kind of like the Wild West approach, all right? That's my way of doing things. Sheriff's out of town for a month. We just got to deal with this, all right? I'll be honest with you, that's my way, my bend. But in the society that we live in and where we are right now, this is the biblical approach to dealing with this. It's just the way it is, all right? You have to take the next step and report it, though. You have to do that, all right? And that's difficult at times. You know, Hannah brought up in her testimony, you know, they said she was crazy, you know, this and that. Eventually, the truth came out, though. See, if you're reporting something, people can think, again, a bunch of words. If you're doing the truth, eventually the truth comes out, amen? So you have to be proactive in dealing with this. Okay, number four. If you cannot exit the situation, then you got to come back next week. It's the way it is. Got to come back next week. But I do want to leave you with a scripture. And this is the context of everything that I'm saying to you today. And it is found, isn't that a nail, you know, a cliffhanger? 1 John 3:1. Just listen to this, and we're just going to close with this. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that's probably the most important thing in overcoming fear and knowing who you are. You are a child of God. And you need to get that down deep within you. You need to be confessing it. You need to begin to believe it. You need to begin to walk in it. And that is how you ultimately will overcome the bullies in your life. Amen? But we do have some practical stuff because we actually haven't got to the part where David actually faces Goliath. And there's some real cool spiritual truths there for us. Amen? Let's stand and pray together. I'll let you go. Lord, I thank you that you call us your children. I thank you, Lord, that there are bullies in this life. And here's why I thank you. Because for some of us, we have to have bullies so that we'll draw close to you. Sometimes we have to have situations and circumstances so that we will call out to you. And Lord, I know that you don't put them in our lives, but you allow them in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever lessons we may have to learn, that we learn them. But most of all, that we just would walk with you on a daily basis so that when the bully does come along, and they will come along, that we will know and have the foresight of how to deal with the situation. Because I believe there's no cookie cutter formula to this, but rather there is direct instruction by the Holy Spirit. So I pray right now for every person, Lord, right here, right now. Lord, either they have been bullied or are being bullied or they're a spectator of bullying. I pray there's nobody here that have been bullies, but if they have, I pray they repent right now in Jesus' name. But Lord God, that wherever they are in their walk with you, that they would be encouraged to draw close to you. In fact, if that's all that they get out of these 3 weeks that we're together talking about this, that the important truth is you are there for us no matter what the circumstance. So bless every person, Lord, as they go out into their lives, Lord God, into their mission fields, into their work, into their schools, wherever they go. I pray they go with their heads held up high, walking as a child of the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, love to pray with you this morning. Amen.